feed the poor, and then testimony after testimony. But the first night he was saved, filled. What did he do? Without even knowing what he was doing. Way back then, he began to set these patterns. Spent the whole night on the beach. First night. You don't think he was working his future? See, why would the cross be so final? For years I tried to figure that out. Why would the cross be so final that he bore our sins there? When you start, you find out he took our sicknesses and he carried our pains, and the chastisement of our lack of peace was laid upon him. You begin to find out just what he took at the cross, you know. But why would he die on the cross and provide all those things and not have a path to the cross as sovereign, final, and finished as the cross? What kind of deal is it when you can't put one foot in front of the other, in front of the other, until you get to where what he said about you comes to pass? Why can't you? And you think for a minute that he doesn't want you to find it. Not in your best day. He's the one that paid the price, even for the leadership of the Spirit in your life. Then, to beat all of that, once you were saved, born again, you needed to be taught. You needed direction. Did he trust you to an angel? Who'd he trust you to? Family. He trusted you to family. A trusted member of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit. And he said he'll come and abide with you, live with you. He'll guide you into all truth. Better word for tutor is somebody that pulls you aside as a private instructor. Which means he's got time for me. He's got time for you. You can hog him all you want. You're not going to run him out of time. Hallelujah, Jesus. So he's done all these things. Well, I just don't know what to pray. And so, well, excuse me. Excuse me, one member of the Godhead will create the prayer and the other one will answer it. Is that good enough? You think you can make it now? Well, what's my part? Your part? This is deep. This is deep, call it to deep. Your part? Come on, you can do it. Just, all you have to, I have to think of the prayer. No, you don't have to think of the prayer. What do I have to do? Open your mouth. Say it. Say it! Okay. Okay, you think you can do that? What I like about it is along the way you change. Mortification takes place. How's that so? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And change begins to take place. How's that? The operation on the inside is becoming more powerful than the operation on the outside. That's called the walk of the Spirit. The walk of power. Hallelujah, Jesus. Whew. Can't help but get excited. And as much as we preach and much as we branch out and we bring these new subjects and we try to preach on this and that, how many knows that He always pulls us back to the road that's heading for revival? Every single time, no matter who takes their round up here and during their training and starts doing some of the teaching, every single time He always takes us back to the primary goal that I came to Tulsa for and why He put us here for. He wants an outpouring here, like He does in every city. But we're not going to stop until we give it to Him. We're just not going to stop. So we've talked a lot about Him working His plan from you praying and then learning how to listen to His voice. A lot. I'm looking forward to the day when revival's raging. And they'll have basic classes over here and foundational classes here, and then give them a gun and enter the war over here. I'm looking forward to the day, but right now we have the privilege of when He comes on us and He needs something to be established in you, then thank God if we have it in us that we're able to establish it in you. Hallelujah, Jesus. So I'm just going to have to sing just one more song because I don't want to cheat you from that blessing, you know. Oh, no, maybe I'll follow her. So why don't you surrender? He speaks that I'm the Lord God who heals you. He said, not only the Lord God of the long-standing love, but I'm the Lord God that heals you. It's more in my language, he says. That he's fixed everything. He's fixed everything. That this is what you let him do. You let him bring you into those places where it's done. See? You're not going to leave the altar the same. You're just not going to do it. Hallelujah. Your healing well is just opening up. Did you know in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve were hiding in the garden, he said, what you do? Did you eat of the tree I told you not to? Now they begin blaming each other. That woman you gave me, said that serpent. But it was too late. It was too late. They already died. So to my amazement, when he judged Satan, now we're talking about his love. He loved you that moment. When he judged Satan, he said, you'll eat dust. If you think a serpent was crawling around there, not really. There's some type there. Said, you'll eat the dust of the earth, and I'm going to put enmity between thy seed and the seed of the woman, you may be able to bruise his heel, the seed. He'll bruise your head, which is, that's death. So he reached down 4,000 years before he even finished talking. Promised a redeemer, which was Jesus, born of woman, and at the enmity between his seed and their seed was that he would be born with a nature like you're going to get. And it was in conflict with the death nature. Yet he stopped everything for a minute and prophesied 4,000 years into the future. And that freed him then. Same as taking a credit card and say, now you can charge it to the cross because it's been prophesied. But I'm going to kill this animal. And when that first drop of blood sheds, that's going to be a type of his blood. So I'm going to meet their need and clothe them. And the rest of what I do, you just charge to the cross because it'll be paid in full in 4,000 years. So. He loved you that much. You can't help but believe that God knew you would mess up. The highest cost that heaven has ever sustained is the free will moral agency of you. Just it's your decision to lift your hands and worship him. That means everything to him because he knows it was your choice. Where would the fellowship be without that? He knew what it would cost him. That he was willing to pay. Why? Because he loves you. So one more time, is God is love? Yes. Doesn't have love? No. He is? Yes. He came from where? Forever. Where's he going? To forever. But if he's love, what does love do? Work alone? Is it love itself? Oh, I'm just so great. I love me. Oh, you have a lot of love. Thank you. I love me. No. It's where you come in. The more I catch a hold of this, the freer I'm getting. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. So the rest of you, jump up for one more minute. Throw those arms up there. I can't help but go over those trails where I discovered him and the love he had for me. Just can't help it. So lift him up and worship him just for one more moment. Hallelujah, Jesus. For many of you, the depth I'm reaching with you is I'm healing. The kind of healing that it comes from the hurts and disappointments and lies and people and those kind. I'm healing and tolehatia maskido. And some I'm edifying for your surrendering to me in a place that that you've not surrendered to me before. For there's exciting things ahead. And as you can see, the world isn't waiting for you. These things that lie ahead, you'll soon be coming into them. So be strong. You'll look back on these days and rejoice that I was able to do the work in you that I have done, saith the Lord. Well, I like that. I wish I could say it all over again, but I can't. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Mantus keretio. Halebos kenet. And he's also, he said, and was also, I'm sorry, past tense a little, that he's healing anything. He's healing now. He's working in healing now for anything that you want to present up to him right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. So, Father, anything wrong in any person's body, in this crowd, if they want to get rid of, visit them with it. Visit them with healing now. Now, Father. Oh, and I thank you for it. I thank you for it, in Jesus' name. Tokoa de Seleki. Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. To think it started way back with a promise. And that promise was told to Satan. Born of woman, be a seed. Way back. You have any idea when Jesus rose from the dead on Easter, as you would say? How many people went with him? I'm not sure about Cain, but I know Abel did. Abel's the one to wait the longest in paradise. He had a long wait, didn't he? He's well able to go, though, he said. That's Mark. Okay, you may be seated. Hallelujah, Jesus. When I see all the things he went through to redeem us, in particular me, in particular you, all that he went through to get you back. We're not speaking in a general sense. What he did for one, he did for everybody. It's hard for me to imagine that he did all that for me. Sometimes I don't even know how to measure it. And he gave me an ability and a choice to believe him, to serve him. That's my choice. And I choose. I choose. Well, to find out the path too, the miracle, the cross, your calling, everything has for you, wants for you, that the path to all of that is as sure as you putting one foot in front of the other, going from where you are to him. Now, I've been in a few moves. ultra, ultra, ultra holiness move. That was one of my favorites. The way we dressed our women. No jewelry or nothing, no earrings. We would let them wear things that were necessities, like a watch. But if they turned a watch into an earring, we know they couldn't see around to their ear. Our women were holy women and non-provocative. Very holy women. And that was holiness to us, women's attire. We would. So I was in that move for a while, very legalistic. You even had to pretty much pray through to get saved. So that's where I got born again and filled. And then the next move I had the pleasure of encountering is the faith move. And those was during the best days of Brother Hagin Sr. When he introduced that message of faith as a young boy on the bed of affliction, young Baptist boy on the bed of affliction, and he read, "You could say to that mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and doubt not where you'll have what you say with your mouth." But then it threw a little clause in. Oh, by the way, if you have hatred odd against somebody, you could leave the mountain suspended for a minute. Go make it right or it's not going to move. Anyway, he came forward and gave his testimony. I walked off the bed of affliction. Started at a very young age, preaching on the steps of a courthouse or something. So we got excited over faith. We really got excited over it. So, but by the time I was introduced to Brother Hagin's things, I'd already established myself in praying in tongues, because I walked off a job and I thought if I pray the hours I normally would have worked, then he'll pay me. Yeah, he'll got to pay me, surely. So I'd go down and I'd start praying, "Oh God, let me see. Oh, save the lost. Save the lost." And I pray for the people, that people. And yeah, and I pray for our provision. And 10, 12 minutes later, I had 7 hours to go. Well, I'm going to try praying in tongues, and I'm not sure whether it's legal or not, if you can pray any time you want or you have to come up on. Well, I had to take a chance, so I just thought, okay, well, whether I can or not, I'm going to. So I started, Oh, I took a break at the mill at this time. Well, later on I had a meeting. I skipped several other ones. And I got a 16-year-old kid played the guitar for me. And I had that speaker with a plastic microphone. It was made to record it, a big reel-to-reel, but I could use it for an amplifier. Hello. Hello. So we had that all set up, and that kid was playing. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power. And I was supposed to come out after three songs. Where were you hiding in the kitchen? It was kind of at a service counter, and I was peeking out the crack. There is power. Listen, I got D's in English because I couldn't give all reports. Somebody said you got overhealed. I'm thinking. And he sang, and then he starts looking over after he's running out of songs. Finally, I braved my way out. I memorized a Hagin message. Got to plastic. It was a bad affliction. And Hagin was, and he was sick. And he said, I'm healed. And he got up. Everybody's gone. And I said, is anybody sick? And a couple come up, but particularly this lady. She goes, I said, you sick?
Yes.
I said, what's wrong? What do you have? She says,
I have a deaf ear, sonny.
I said, shh. Shh. Don't say it. Okay, I'll pray for it. Okay, let me see. What do they say now? In Jesus' name. Ear.
You open. That's it. Jesus.
Sonny, I can hear you.
I said, you can? I says, oh my God, I've been healed. And I go, oh. This woman had a deaf ear. I prayed for her. Before I was hiding it. And she got healed. Well, that was the beginning. Because I'd never really spoke before or anything. But to know those first 3 months that I spent up there praying, that I established a path, I didn't know where he was going to take me. I didn't know things would end up like they're ending up. And I didn't dare even believe, dare to dream that I could ever really speak before anyone, even though I knew that I was called. So the words started opening up. And they said, what do you suppose it is? At first I didn't know. I didn't know. But when he worked it, it didn't matter whether I knew or not. Because he was opening it up to me as we went. But the one thing I didn't stop doing along the way, sometimes I had times when I didn't do it because I got so busy, but I'd always return to it, which was the praying in the Holy Ghost to the edification. Now, let me show you something in 12th chapter of Romans. Say verse 1. Notice the wording on this. Romans 12 and 1, he says, look, I beseech you therefore, brethren. And this beseeching he's doing is by the mercies of God. He says, look, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is just only your reasonable service. And don't go on to be conformed to this world anymore, but transformed by the renewing your mind, that you may prove what is the good, the acceptable, and finally the perfect will of God. Well, in Mark 4, he sowed the word. It brought forth 30, 60, 100-fold, or good, acceptable, or perfect. But look what he's saying here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, and the word therefore means, my beseeching is based on something that's already been said. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. So if he said, I beseech you, therefore, then the information in a previous chapter must have already been given how I'm supposed to offer my body a living sacrifice. Well, he didn't say, I beseech you by the grace of God. He said, I beseech you by the mercy of God that you present your bodies. Well, the difference between mercy and grace is this, and he's asking us to do this by the mercies of God. Let's say you're on planet Earth. No, let's say you're in heaven and you're on planet Earth, and there's a great spiritual void of death between us. And you can stand there on the planet and beg me all you want to save you, and I got nothing to save you with. Please, there's a void of spiritual death between me and you. I got nothing to save you with. Please have mercy on us and save us. I can't save you. But finally, God had mercy. And the mercy is what caused Jesus to cross the void of spiritual death, shed his blood, and then give the blood to them so they can hold the blood up. And now, they said, now, do you have something to save us with now? I said, yes, because of mercy, you found my grace. I died for you and shed this blood. So now you can be saved. Well, the difference between mercy and grace is mercy. He came to redeem us out of mercy. And the grace is what he did for us. That took our place. Gave us his grace. Traded our weakness for his strength. His death for our life. Now he's asking me, I beseech you of the mercies of God. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, offer your body living sacrifice, which is wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Well, isn't it stand to reason that if he used the word therefore, meaning he's already explained how we're supposed to offer our body, so now he's saying do it. Well, we don't have to go back very far. 9, 10, and 11 are about the Jews' perspective, position in salvation and what God's doing about that. But you go back to 8. And 8 is where we live almost. And kick in around, oh, how about the 20th verse? He said, for the creature, this is Romans 8 and 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity or corruption. Put it this way, for all creation was subject to vanity or corruption willingly. Not willingly, but by him who subjected the same in hope. Because the creature also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And that's what the whole planet's doing. It's laboring in imperfection. And it's terminating. And that's what we're seeing more and more of all the time. But one thing I did find out, and I I exhorted on this a little bit before all of the catastrophes began to happen this last round, because I knew we'd have to have a lot more faith in that area coming into this realm. Now, all creation is laboring under imperfection because it's terminating. Why do you think Jesus did miracles like walk on water? Some of you like this, turn water into wine. Walk on water, stop storms, feed the multitudes with 2 fishes and 5 loaves. What do you think he did those things? He said, the works I do, you'll do also. Right now, this is my body. I live here. But the earth is my planet. I live here. I've got authority in this body. My body will take disease if I let it. If I won't let it, it can't take it. Well, this body will take destruction, or this world will take destruction where you're living. But you know, you do have some authority whether or not that's going to destroy your house. Because the planet, it's where I live right now, this house. It's my home. I have authority over it. He said the creature itself was subjected to corruption by him that subjected the same in hope. It's in labor pains now and in destruction. But I still have authority. Why do you think people were translated at times in history? Be praying in one place and end up in another. How many knows as time goes by and things get worse and worse, that more and more of those kinds of miracles are going to take place? I've already jumped out and had a little talk with tornadoes when they were heading our way. To me, that's cancer coming after my body. I like my house. Well, he's talking about creation here. And 22. The whole creation groaneth and faileth pain till now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. That's we've been born again. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to be made complete at the redemption of our body when we get a glorified one. For we're saved by hope, but hope that is seen, what do we yet hope for? What a man seeth, what does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, we have to with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. What kind? The limitations we've been imposed under by this body and this planet. For we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts, he knows what's the mind of the Spirit. He knows what's in God's mind. And it's he's able accurately because of that to make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And then because it's his plan for you in the future, we know all things will finally begin to turn and work together for the good of them loved him and are called according to his purpose. So here, he showed you how to offer your body the living sacrifice. Likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities, our weaknesses. Why? Because we don't know how to pray as we ought. But he knows God's plan. He knows what's going to happen. So he'll make intercession for us according to not only the will of God, but his plan for our lives. Since I know that, then I know what he's talking about after he deals with the Jewish question in 9, 10, and 11. I know what he's talking to me since. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, go on, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. This is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to the world anymore, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, what is the good and the acceptable, and finally the absolute perfect will of God. Why? Because I know how to work his plan. I know how to offer my body. I know how to do it on purpose. And I know the mysteries he's praying out in Christ and the direction for my life. They will be known by me. And it will be impossible to stop them. third verse says, "For I say," Paul said, this is him talking, "through the grace that is given to me, to every man among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, think soberly according to God's dealt to every man the measure of faith." So when he says, "I say through the grace given unto me," what grace is he talking about? You don't have to go very far. Sixth verse for a minute. "Having then gifts differing," what makes mine different from yours? "According to the grace that's given to us." So this means if Paul is speaking out of the grace given to him, it's out of his apostolic office. So he's about to give us some advice. Paul says, "I speak according to the grace that's given to me, that you ought not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think soberly according to God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." Okay.
I'm a mighty apostle.
Not supposed to think of yourself more than. You're supposed to think soberly according to the measure given to you.
You mean the measure of faith?
Yes. I always wondered what that was. I thought I'd find out when I moved to Tulsa. A measure of faith. How much is it?
Well, my son, that's the measure that, you know, you, that everybody gets that you got born again on.
I says, huh.
But we're not too sure whether it's the measure or a measure.
Well, what's the difference if you don't know what each other are? He said, "Think soberly according to God's given to every man the measure of faith." Okay, I'm supposed to think soberly according to that, but what is it? So I thought I'd ask a preacher. All I have to do is throw a rock and I'll hit one. Tulsa. When you hear a scream, go that direction. What's a measure, sir? Well, we're not sure it's a measure or the measure. What's the difference if you can't make either one work? Did you discover what it was? Yes, but this is way too deep for you. In fact, I actually learned it maybe in the fourth or fifth grade. Are you ready? Way too heavy for you. A measure one third of three thirds is a measure. One third is a measure. It's a part of three thirds that makes a whole. Isn't this deep? A measure is part of a whole. Whew, that exhausted me. I feel like I was with a mathematician and expert for a week. Figure this out. What he was saying is this. Paul said, "I'm speaking by the grace that's been given to me." That was his apostolic office. We had gifts differing according to the grace God gave you. He called you to that office. "That you ought not think of yourself more highly, but think soberly according to God's dealt to every man the measure of faith." So I didn't call myself to be what I am. He called me to be what I am by grace, and he called you to be what you are by grace. So we ought not think of ourselves more highly than we ought. I remember one time I was in a meeting with this guy, and I won't give you his name. But the van come to pick us up. All of a sudden I heard doors slamming as two or three bodyguards run down the hall, checking everything, and gave him a clearance. And he ran for the car and got in it. I went in and sat down. I thought, I hope they don't think I'm a threat. He said, "You ought not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think soberly, for it's God. It's given to grace." Did I earn my office? No. Did you? No. Was it given to you? Yes. By what? Grace. And two, he gave you the measure of faith that goes with your office, not mine. And all the measures working together make a whole devil-stomping, mountain-moving body called the body of Christ. But we're speaking on the apostolic level, high as you can go, Paul. I'm speaking out of the grace that I received from him to be an apostle, that you ought not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Think soberly. God gave you the measure of faith to fill your office, not mine. See? And that's why when we stand before him, we're going to find out we had everything we needed to fulfill our office, because he gave the office to us by grace. Then he gave us the measure of faith to fill ours, and all the measures working together made a devil stomping, mountain moving body of Christ. But of course, if I'm called, you know, to be apostle or something, yeah. How can I help but look down on you poor, miserable little creatures that have to do my bidding? Oh, I got two or three million saved last year. Oh, my time comes, I go to heaven. I'm going to get coronated that day. I'm going to get my crown. It's a great big waiting room. Has a big glass window. I had an angel. Would you go get Jesus for me? Would you go get him one more time? And he goes and gets Jesus and he comes. Would you mind opening that big window you opened up and let me see those millions of people I got saved? Would you please do that? Shh. Okay. I hate to really say anything, but I did that. Oh, thank you, Jesus. When do I get crowned? Oh, don't get overbearing about this. It'll come along in its time. Oh, thank you. Thank you. The window closes. He leaves. I heard the door open again. I look. Excuse me, ma'am. What are you doing in my room? This is my reward room. What are you doing in here?
Well, Jesus told me to come in.
He told you to come into my room? Oh, what generation did you live in? I don't recognize you. I turned half the world upside down. What'd you do?
Well, I lived in your generation.
I don't remember you. You wasn't on top of the list of everybody getting people saved.
Well, no.
What are you doing in here? This is my room. Pretty soon Jesus walks in. Jesus, wait, come over here. Roberson. You ought not think of yourself more highly than you ought. You need to think soberly, son. I said, yeah, but what does that woman do? She's a cleaning lady. You brought a cleaning lady into my reward room? A cleaning lady? I said, oh, David, you ought not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. He said, yes, I did. Do you know why? When the prayer center went into revival, it had to have places that seated 50,000 a wing. And she walked the floor night after night in intercession, praying and cleaning over every chair. She stuck a pin in the map on every country and prayed the country through until it broke out with revival. She spent her whole life in prayer, making intercession, so you could deliver what you delivered. And what do you mean? She don't deserve to be in your room. Say, I'm sorry. As she goes down through the list there, he says, all of you receive grace, and all of you receive the measure of faith that fills your calling. Don't think for a moment because somebody operated in the measure that they had available and the gifting that He gave them, that what they did was greater than what you did. You walked in the call that He gave you and used the faith that went with your call. Well, the one thing I know, I know how to find out. Go on, Roberson, offer your body. Living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, transformed by the renewing your mind to prove what is the good, acceptable, and finally, the absolute, perfect will of God. Well, this is what I'm thrilled about. This isn't up to you. This isn't up to the guy preaching across town or the other one or who says they're right or says we're wrong. This is up to me. He fixed it where I could walk as far in as I want to go on purpose, just because I want to. And nobody can stop it. You and I get to get as much of God as we want. And don't forget, this is the anointing of the believer. These signs will follow them that believe. These signs will follow apostles, teachers, pastors, governments. These signs will follow them that believe. A lot of times we see an apostle or a prophet fall to the flesh, and yet you still see evidence of the moving of the Spirit. Finally, when his fall becomes international, we go, why did God go on using him like that? The gifting went with the office. He needed to finish paying the price of mortification so he wouldn't fall to the trap. But the gift went with the office. But guess what gets to go with every believer? These signs follow them that believe. You can be a walking, talking, believing machine. And lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. You can cast devils out. I mean, these giftings, speak with those new tongues, they belong to all of you and to your walk. Now, there is those that qualify an office, and that's what they become known for. But as far as you going to a hospital and going in there and bringing them back with you, you have every right to do that because He has healed them. Get on your path and equip. Come on. He that prays in the unknown tongue edifies himself. Edifies himself. He that prophesies edifies the church. Why? Yea, thus saith the Lord. If you all hold your hands up for a half hour and praise me steadily, I have $500,000 check waiting for each of you at the end of the driveway. Your hands would go, I love you. You could put a bulldozer trying to pull them down. No, you don't. No, you don't. I love you. I love you. You'd hold them up. Why were you edified? Because prophecy made his mind manifest to you. Would you not be? Well, then he says, he that prays in the non-tokan edifies himself. Why? Same reason. Because his mind is made manifest to you. Not collectively, like prophecy, but as an individual. You can't keep praying the mysteries up before God without eventually understanding them. Come on. How many knows he gave us Tulsa? Hallelujah, Jesus. Whew. So, we've been talking a lot about the path lately. About praying and working His will. That's what those chapters are about. You can go there on purpose.